Hello, everyone. What is up? Welcome back to another episode of Killer Instinct. Thank you guys so much for joining me here today. If you're new here, hi, my name is Savannah, and I'm your host of Killer Instinct. Before we get started, make sure you go ahead and hit that subscribe button. That way you never miss an episode. We post weekly here on the podcast every single Wednesday, and you're not going to want to miss it. We also post the video version onto YouTube as well on Wednesdays, so make sure you are subscribed. Now, you guys, happy March. We have officially entered the third month of 2024, and you know what that means. We are entering into a new true crime category. If you have not been keeping up, or if this is the first episode you are listening to, for 2024, we have been dedicating every single month to a different true crime category. So January, we did unsolved cases. February, we did killer couples and scorned lovers. And now we are in March, which is where we are doing celebrity cases. And I'm not going to lie, I was quite surprised that no one guessed this in last episode when I said to leave your guesses in the comments. However, you guys gave great, great suggestions that we are going to put into play for future months to come. But for the month of March, we are doing celebrity cases. So whether that be murders that were committed by a celebrity themselves or cases where celebrities were killed, that is what we are focusing on this month. And I chose this because, as we know, there are many cases out there involving celebrities that we have heard of or know a little bit about, but not everything. And that is why I wanted to dedicate a month to really diving deeper into them. And I wanted to start with this case that we are talking about today because it is one that has really drawn many differing opinions and theories over the years. There has been much speculation about what exactly happened here. So as you can tell by the title of this episode, we are talking about the mysterious death of Natalie Wood. Now, if you do not know who Natalie Wood is, Natalie Wood was an American actress who began her career in film as a young child and then grew her success all the way up until her mysterious death in 1981. So I'm really curious to see what you guys have to say about this case. And also, please leave your suggestions and recommendations down below of different cases that you would like to hear for the month of March. And with that being said, let's jump right on into it today. Natalie Wood was born on July 20th, 1938, to her parents, Maria and Nicholas, in San Francisco, California. Now, Maria, Natalie's mother, was originally living in Russia with her first husband, a man named Alexander. And the two of them moved to the United States in 1930 with their first daughter and Natalie's older half-sister, Olga. Now, Alexander and Maria ended up getting a divorce 6 years after moving to America, and Maria met Natalie's father, Nicholas, in 1933. So a couple years before they ended up getting a divorce is when Maria met Nicholas, and then 5 months prior to Natalie being born is when the two of them got married. I know it's a little bit of a confusing timeline with the back and forth of it all between Maria, Alexander, and Nicholas. However, Maria and Nicholas got married in early 1938, a few months prior to Natalie being born. Now, in 1942, Maria, Nicholas, Olga, and Natalie moved to Santa Rosa, California, where Natalie was actually scouted by a crew member during a film photo shoot. They recruited her, and shortly after, in 1943, Natalie made her first film debut. Natalie's first film was called Happy Land, and filming took place just a few weeks before Natalie's fifth birthday. She was featured very, very briefly in a scene, but in that brief part, she ended up catching the eye of a director named Irving Pichel. Irving really acted as a mentor and an agent for Natalie, and over the next 2 years, he remained in contact with her family and would let them know if any parts were available that would be a good fit for Natalie, and he was even the one that gave Natalie the name Natalie Wood. Natalie's birth name was Natalia, so he decided to change that from Natalia to Natalie, and then he gave her the last name Wood in honor of a well-known director named Sam Wood. Now, around the time that her acting started to pick up a little bit, Natalie's family decided to move from Santa Rosa, California to Los Angeles, really with the hopes of accelerating Natalie's acting career and to make her a star. Natalie's father, Nicholas, wasn't too thrilled with this decision. He wasn't obsessed with the idea of Natalie acting or being in all of these films. However, Maria, on the other hand, really had her mind set on what Natalie's future was going to look like. Now, it's important to note that it was said that both Natalie's parents loved their kids wholeheartedly, but it did not come without its fair share of struggles as well. Nicholas was said to be very hardworking. He adored his kids. He did the best he could to provide for them. However, his main vice was alcoholism. Nicholas was struggling trying to survive through the Great Depression and trying to blend in Los Angeles and avoid immigrant discrimination that he was facing. And this really contributed to that alcoholic behavior. During his drunk spells, it was said that Nicholas would act out and become violent. However, when he was sober, he was described as being a gentle parent and someone who absolutely adored his children. Now, Maria, on the other hand, while she wasn't known for being an alcoholic, she was known for being a pathological liar. And that term is coming directly from her youngest daughter, Lana. She said that Maria was someone where you never really knew if what was going to come out of her mouth was going to be the truth or if it was going to be a lie. However, what you could almost always count on was the fact that whatever Maria was going to say, it was going to be dramatic. She was the type where she was going to fluff up any story to make it sound as dramatic as possible. And Maria really did have this big obsession with Natalie being famous. Natalie's stardom really could be accredited all to Maria herself, because Maria really was the one to push her daughter to do this. Maria had this hyper fixation that Natalie was going to be well known all over the world, and Maria was not going to stop until that happened. Maria really was the perfect example of a parent who was trying to live out their dream vicariously through their child, and because of that, Maria and Natalie really had a tough relationship. Maria really was the reason that the film crew scouted out Natalie to begin with. That was not an accident. Maria had heard that there was a film crew in town, and she took her daughters to the set and had Natalie go and talk to people and just be seen by others. And that's ultimately how she was casted to begin with. Now, with all of this being said, it is important to note as well that Natalie loved acting. This wasn't something where she didn't enjoy it or she didn't have a passion for it. However, the seriousness and intensity that Maria brought into it definitely created a strained experience for Natalie. When Natalie was 7 years old, she got the part in a film called Tomorrow is Forever, and she played a German orphan. And during the film, Natalie was supposed to cry on command in a particular scene. However, she was unable to do that. She couldn't cry on command. However, in response, Maria decided to tear a living butterfly to shreds in front of Natalie to make sure that she would be able to cry for the scene. So that's just an example of the intensity that got brought into this for Natalie from a very young age. This wasn't something where it was just lighthearted and she did it because, oh, she loved it and it was something fun for her. This was something that was very, very serious from a very young age. Now, after Tomorrow is Forever, Natalie went on to act in The Bride Who Wore Boots and then another film called The Ghost and Mrs. Meyer. Natalie continued getting many roles all throughout her childhood and teenage years. She received an education by completing schoolwork for 3 hours a day on set, and she actually received exceptional grades. She was a straight-A student, and by the time she was 9 years old, she was named the most exciting juvenile motion picture star of the year by Parents Magazine. Now, the real shift for Natalie from playing those childhood roles to more mature roles was when Natalie played the role of Judy in Rebel with a Cause, which is a movie that came out in 1955. Natalie filmed with James Dean in that film, and this performance is what led her to receive her first Oscar nomination. But this was also the first known time that Natalie was exposed to the dark side of the industry. She auditioned for the film when she was 16 years old, and it was said that the 42-year-old director of that film had groomed her and that the two of them ended up having some sort of affair. And at first, this director was known to kind of be bribing Natalie for the part through having this affair. He would bribe her by saying that if she would do certain things, that she would get the part, and was said to have groomed her for quite some time before ultimately Natalie did receive the part of Judy. Now, I'm not going to sit here and name off every single movie that Natalie Wood has ever appeared in, because we would be here for quite some time. But I do think it's important to mention Natalie's accomplishments because she was an incredible, incredible actress. And in 1961, Natalie starred as Maria in West Side Story. And it was in that film that she received her first Golden Globe nomination for Best Actress. Throughout her career, Natalie received 3 Golden Globes along with 3 nominations for Oscars. Now, something to know about Natalie is that she was incredibly smart, not just book-wise, because as I said, she received straight A's while she was getting her education, but she knew the film industry inside and out. And having been in it for the majority of her life, she was very well aware of everything that went into the making of a good film and what to do to make sure she was going to show up being the best she could be for a particular part. And at the end of the day, Natalie just loved acting. She is seen in multiple interviews talking about her love for what she's done and how that simply just came down to her passion for acting. She didn't care about the stardom that followed her. She just wanted to be able to focus on acting and perfecting her craft. She was also said to have had the biggest heart. She loved laughing and having fun and making other people feel like they could let loose and have a good time around her as well. Natalie's kids said that Natalie had a larger than life personality, but when she was at home with her kids and her family, you would never be able to tell that she was some mega movie star because she would walk around, no makeup, just kind of doing whatever her kids wanted to do, playing activities with them, whether that was going in the pool or coloring. Her kids said that they had no idea how big of a star their mom was. They knew that she acted. They knew that she was famous in that regard. However, in terms of the scale of her celebrity, you would have never known by just seeing her at home because she was simply just Natalie. So now let's dive in to more of Natalie's personal life. Since we've talked about a lot of her accomplishments, let's get more into the personal side of things. When Natalie was 19 years old, she got married on December 28th, 1957 in Scottsdale, Arizona to a man named Robert Wagner. Robert and Natalie first met when Natalie was 10 years old and Robert was 19, and they had met on set. Natalie remembered she walked down the hallway with her mom and she passed Robert and then looked at her mom and said, "I wish I could marry that man," and 9 years later, she did. The two had their first date on July 20th, 1956, when Robert took Natalie out for her 18th birthday, and the two were inseparable after that. Now, if the name Robert Wagner sounds familiar to you, that is because Robert was also a very, very well-known actor, best known for his work in TV shows like The Switch, It Takes a Thief, Pink Panther, and most famously, his role in a series called Heart to Heart. Both Natalie and Robert were very well-known and considered A-list celebrities at their peak of their career. In the mid-1960s, Robert and Natalie were some of the most well-known stars in Hollywood, so there was a lot of eyes on their relationship. They really were looked at as movie star royalty individually, and then the two of them together just became this powerhouse. In an interview, Natalie describes what life was like just after getting married to Robert, and she said, quote, "We drove a Corvette across the country. Radio stations would announce we had just passed through, and people would wait for us in every little town," end quote. So I wanted to include that just so you kind of have an understanding of how well known these people were. Now, unfortunately, in 1961, after 4 years of being together, Robert and Natalie ended up getting a divorce. In 1966, so about 5 years after they separated, Natalie wrote an article for Ladies Home Journal, which was a popular magazine that focused on women's lifestyle topics. And Natalie wrote an unpublished article called Public Property, Private Person. And in the article, Natalie kind of dives in about her relationship with Robert and explains what kind of went wrong here. In the article, she says, quote, "After 2 years of marriage, things begin to change. We were aware that we had problems, but tried to avoid the conflicts. We maintained a superficially happy relationship and hoped by pretending there was nothing wrong, the problems would go away. How do you separate reality from illusion when you have been trapped to make believe all your life? Marriage requires patience and work, as well as the capacity to accept another human being, flaws and all, without closing him in a smothering mantle of perfection," end quote. Now, as you can imagine, with these two being megastars, after their marriage ended, there were a lot of rumors that were circulating about what could have caused the separation. Some said it was because Natalie had an affair with a co-star. Some said that Robert had affairs as well. However, Robert himself and the people who knew Natalie claimed that the reason for separation was not because of any of those things. However, as you can tell by the article that I just read, or the excerpt from that article, the reason for the separation was more so caused by career conflict than anything else. Throughout their marriage, Natalie's career was at an all-time high. However, Robert's was starting to reach more of a plateau. And Natalie had hinted at this in her unpublished article by going on to say that she had filmed two movies back to back and didn't have time to be the wife that she wanted or to focus on their relationship, and it caused friction between the two of them, which ultimately led to more problems and then snowballed into a divorce. Now, one thing we do know to be true, as everyone recalled about the divorce, and by everyone, I mean people who knew the two of them directly, was that even though their marriage ended, Natalie and Robert never stopped loving other people. It was said that even though they weren't together anymore, it wasn't because they didn't love each other. It was just that external factors had gotten into the way and they weren't able to prioritize the relationship as much as they wanted. However, regardless of that, both Natalie and Robert went on to date and marry other people. Natalie, for one, went on to marry a man named Richard Gregson on May 30th, 1969. Richard was a British producer at the time, and the two dated for almost 3 years before getting married. They ended up having a daughter together in 1970 named Natasha. Natalie absolutely loved being a mother more than anything. She was completely enthralled with her new role in life, so much so that it ended up causing problems in her marriage with Richard, because Richard started to get jealous. He felt like he wasn't getting enough attention for Natalie. So because of that, he ended up having an affair with Natalie's secretary, which ultimately led to Richard and Natalie getting divorced in 1971. Now, similarly, Robert also went on to remarry, and the two of them had a daughter before splitting up. And then at the end of 1972, Natalie and Robert ended up rekindling their relationship and got remarried on July 16th on a boat anchored off of Paradise Cove in Malibu. And the two of them then went on to have a daughter together named Courtney on March 9th, 1974. Imagine an app designed to make you use it less. Seems a little counterproductive, right? Well, Apartments.com's Instant Alert feature works exactly that way. Instead of scanning rental listings a million times a day, simply set and forget your search to whatever you're looking for in a place and let Apartments.com do the rest. From pet-friendly apartments to balconies to in-unit ACs, Apartments.com's powerful search tools let you know when the perfect combination of features you're seeking is listed. So you don't have to power through rental descriptions one by one. With more rental listings than anywhere else, Apartments.com's instant alerts mean that you can spend less time looking for the perfect place and more time on just doing you. Apartments.com, the place to find a place. So with all of this backstory, I now want to move on and focus on November 29th, 1981, which was the day that Natalie Wood died. At the time of her death, Natalie was 43 years old and filming a movie called Brainstorm. She had been shooting in North Carolina, however, had wrapped at that location, so everyone traveled back to Los Angeles. Now, during the time that she was shooting, Robert was also shooting his Heart to Heart series in Hawaii, so everyone was happy to have the family back together in Los Angeles for the Thanksgiving holiday. Now, the day after Thanksgiving, Natalie and Robert had some company over. They invited their friends over, and according to some of these friends, the friends said that there was tension between Natalie and Robert. According to Natalie's friends, they claimed that Natalie was very anxious and that there was noticeable tension between the two of them. One friend claimed that they actually stayed at Natalie and Robert's house later than usual that night because they wanted to make sure that Natalie was going to be okay. Some friends claimed that Natalie really felt like she was at a crossroads during this time, trying to navigate the work-life balance and feeling similarly to how she did when she initially married Robert. Now, in the days leading up to the 29th of November, Natalie and Robert had been planning a boat trip to Catalina Island. Catalina is a small island located about 22 miles away from Los Angeles, and Natalie and Robert had invited some of their friends to join them on this excursion. It was going to be an adults-only little getaway. Now, sadly, none of their friends were really able to make this trip with them, and part of that was because of the weather that was going on that weekend. The weather forecast said to expect rain during the next couple days while they were gone, and so they just thought that there was really no reason to go out on the boat. It wasn't great boating weather. Now, Natalie and Robert had a 58-foot motor yacht that they called Splendor. A motor yacht is a type of boat that is powered by an engine rather than being powered by sails. Robert and Natalie bought the boat together, and they spent a whole lot of time on this boat. They would bring their kids on it. They would spend time on the boat on weekends. Whenever they would have off time, they would travel to Catalina together, and it was really a great way to be able to escape as a family. Now, as I mentioned earlier, Robert and Natalie invited several of their friends on this little boat excursion to Catalina. However, none of them were going to be able to make it, except there was one other person who was going to be joining them on this boat tour, and that was Christopher Walken. And if that name sounds familiar to you, it is because Christopher Walken is a well-known actor who is most known for his appearances in Pulp Fiction and Catch Me If You Can. Christopher and Natalie were actually co-stars in Brainstorm during this time, and they were working on the film together, so they had spent quite a bit of time together. And like I said, Christopher was the only one who accepted this invitation to go on the boat with Natalie and Robert. So it was going to be Robert, Natalie, Christopher, and then the captain of the boat, Dennis Davern. Now, something to know about Natalie before we get into anything else, I think it's important to talk about this, is that Natalie had a very, very big fear of the water, specifically open ocean and dark water. This fear stemmed from an accident that Natalie was a part of when she was younger, filming a movie called The Green Promise in 1949. During the accident, while Natalie was shooting a scene where she was supposed to run across the bridge, and long story short, the bridge ended up collapsing as Natalie was running across from it, and she ended up hurting her wrist and falling into the water. And not only did Natalie hurt her wrist during this scene, but she also fell into the water, and she was forced to hold on to the remainder of the bridge to help keep herself up. So that's really where the root of this fear really began. And along with that, it has been reported that Natalie's mother, Maria, had actually visited a psychic when Natalie was very, very young. And according to Maria, this psychic had told her that her second daughter, which was Maria, was going to be a global sensation. However, also mentioned to be very wary of dark water. So again, this only contributed to Natalie's fear. And I think it's important to emphasize that the fear of water was, again, very specific. Natalie had no problem going into the pool with her children, playing, you know, during the day or whatever it was. But dark water and the open ocean really, really terrified her. So this boating excursion actually started on the 27th of November. And that is when Christopher Walken, Robert, Natalie, and Dennis boarded the ship and sailed out to Catalina. Now, they originally anchored in Avalon, which is the main city on Catalina Island. And when they anchored, the weather was looking pretty rough. So Natalie decided that she was not going to stay on the boat that night. So she actually ended up going on to the island and getting a hotel for herself, while Robert, Christopher, and Dennis remained back on the Splendor and spent the night. Now, on the next morning, the 28th, Natalie returned back to the Splendor, and they all sailed from Avalon, where they had originally anchored, to a different area called Isthmus Cove, which was actually where Robert and Natalie had originally spent their honeymoon. So they wanted to go there and kind of relive that, and they wanted to show Christopher what it looked like. So they anchored over there, and while he was doing that, Natalie and Christopher decided that they were going to go on the island, get something to eat, and that Robert would catch up with them. Now, after Robert woke up, he ended up taking a shore boat onto Catalina and met Natalie and Chris at a bar that they were at before they all ended up going to dinner together at a restaurant called Dug Harbor Reef. Now, Dennis also joined them for dinner that night, and while they were there, they seemed to be having a very, very nice time. Everyone who was working at the restaurant said that they all seemed to be enjoying themselves. They were all drinking, liquor was flowing, they had a lot of champagne and a lot of laughs. It seemed to be a very, very nice dinner. Now, regardless of how happy everyone was during this dinner, the manager of the restaurant did express concern that the four of them were going to be too intoxicated to get back to their boat safely. So the manager had asked a patrol worker to make sure they got back to their boat, the Splendor, very safely, which they ended up doing. So now the four of them went from the restaurant back to the boat. Once they got back to the boat, this is when Robert decided to open another bottle of wine. And according to him, he began talking to Chris. And during this conversation between Robert and Chris, it's speculated that Natalie was down in the bedroom, which was obviously in and underneath the ship. And Robert and Chris were speaking in the main living area. Now, during this conversation, Robert claims that Christopher began talking about how talented Natalie was and how amazing Natalie was, and also emphasized his belief that it was important that Natalie kept working. And according to Robert, he said that this triggered something in him. Hearing this from Christopher really struck him the wrong way, and this is when the conversation went sideways, because after Christopher said this, that is when Robert said that he looked at Christopher and told him that it was important that he stayed out of Natalie's life right before he smashed the bottle of wine on the table. So now things have obviously escalated at this point. There's a lot of tension between Robert and Chris, as you can imagine, and Robert did not like that someone was telling him what was best for his wife. And along with all of that, I think it's also important to note, everyone was heavily intoxicated. Now, after that comment made by Robert, Christopher got up and went out onto the deck of the boat. And again, this is all happening while Natalie is downstairs in the bedroom getting ready to go to sleep. So Christopher gets up, he walks out to the deck of the boat, and this is when Robert says he followed after Chris, and the two began to badger. They began to just kind of go back and forth. Robert was saying that Christopher needed to leave Natalie alone, that she was his family, X, Y, and Z. And after getting most of this out of their systems, Robert said that the fresh air was kind of able to bring him back to reality and calm him down a little bit, and that him and Christopher were actually able to have a more civilized conversation before they both decided that they were going to clock out and go to bed for the night. Now, after Christopher went to bed, Robert also walked inside from being out on the deck and walked towards the main bedroom. And in doing that, he ended up passing Dennis, who was in the living room sweeping up the broken glass from the wine bottle that Robert had smashed. So Robert walks past Dennis and then goes into the main bedroom. And this is when Robert claims that he noticed Natalie was gone. She wasn't in the bedroom. She wasn't in the bathroom. She wasn't out on the deck of the boat either. However, the dinghy boat was gone. And if you're unfamiliar, a dinghy boat is a small inflatable rubber boat that's oftentimes tied to the side of a larger ship. That way, the occupants that are on the ship, if they're anchored out, can get into the smaller boat and take that onto the island. It's easier and more accessible, and the only way to do that. So when Robert was out there looking for Natalie, he noticed that the dinghy boat was gone. So initially after this, Robert walks back from being out on the deck and asks Dennis if he had seen Natalie or if Christopher had seen Natalie. However, neither of them had. And along with that, no one had heard the dinghy engine being fired up either. And that was unsettling for everyone, because if Natalie had turned on that engine, all of them would have been able to hear it. However, no one heard a single thing. Now at that point, Robert decided that he was going to call a shoreboat to take him into shore. However, when he got onto the island, he didn't see their dinghy boat or Natalie anywhere. He thought it was possible that maybe she went back to the restaurant, maybe she forgot something, but the restaurant hadn't seen her either. Now, at that point, the shore patrol and the Coast Guard were called to begin their search for Natalie. They searched for her all throughout the night before ultimately discovering her body at 8 a.m. on November 29th, 1 mile away away from the boat. Natalie had bruising on her body and her arms, as well as an abrasion on her left cheek. However, initially, it was said that there were no signs of foul play. Now, it wasn't clear to anyone how exactly Natalie's injuries got there. After an autopsy was performed, it was determined that Natalie's cause of death was drowning in hypothermia and that the manner of death was accidental. Natalie was found with a blood content of 0.14%, and it was also said that she had traces of motion sickness pills and a painkiller in her bloodstream, and both of those would have increased the effects of alcohol. Now, initially, after speaking to everyone on the boat, that being Robert, Dennis, and Christopher, police theorized that Natalie must have slipped and fell while trying to retie the dinghy onto the boat and then ultimately drowned. The reason that they were confident about that was not only because of Natalie's level of intoxication, however, also on that particular night, there was a mist which would have made it more slippery on the boat and therefore easier to fall into the water. According to Natalie's daughter, she said that this also makes sense because Natalie was very sensitive to the sound of the dinghy being pushed up against the boat. She really, really hated that sound. And so it made sense that she would have tried to go out there and tried to retie it and tighten it that way that noise would go away. Now, the timeline that's been released to the public of Natalie's disappearance was that Natalie went missing at approximately 11:05 p.m. on the 28th, and that the shore boat was called by Robert out 1:30 a.m. and that the Coast Guard was called at 3:30 a.m. on the 29th, and that they searched for her body until they discovered her at 8 a.m. Now, as you can imagine, with Natalie being such a high-profile figure, the media storm and mania that took place after Natalie's death was something that no one had experienced before. It was a constant craze of cameras and videos pointing towards the family. Robert was said to have been stuck in bed for days, not knowing how to cope with his grief or how to continue on, but he stayed close to his daughters and seemed to be trying to navigate through an impossible situation as best as he could. Now, that does not go without saying that there was a lot of speculation in regards to Natalie's death from the very beginning. The public very much had their own opinions on what could have happened that night. They came up with a lot of theories. Having there been a confirmed argument, everyone having a lot of alcohol in their systems, some even said that there was a love triangle between Christopher, Robert, and Natalie, which would have created a lot of tension and friction. There were a lot of theories going around and a lot of suspicion on whether Natalie's death was actually an accident. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the medical examiner did declare this case to be an accidental drowning. However, in 2011, the case reopened after Dennis Davern, the captain of that ship, claimed that he lied in his initial statements to police after Natalie's death. Dennis actually ended up co-authoring a book where he told a very, very different story in regards to what happened that night. Now, initially in his interviews with police, he told them that Natalie must have fallen off the boat while she was trying to get onto the dinghy and ultimately drowned, which lined up with what the coroner was saying. However, after the book was released, and the book was called Goodbye Natalie, Goodbye Splendor, after that book was released, Dennis claimed that on the night of Natalie's death, there was a lot of tension on this boat. He claimed that Natalie and Robert got into an argument after Robert accused Natalie of flirting with Christopher, which made him become very angry. Dennis went on to tell police that he believes that Robert pushed Natalie into the water on the night of her death, intentionally. He told police that Robert should be looked at as someone who was responsible for the death of Natalie. So because of this, authorities believed that they had enough information and enough evidence to reopen Natalie's case. Now, when they did this, when police reopened the case, they noticed several things. The first being Dennis's revised statement, which is what I just told you. The second being that there were several revisions to the autopsy findings. On January 14th, 2013, the Los Angeles coroner offered an additional 10-page document to Natalie's original autopsy report. In these new findings, it was said that Natalie could have sustained some of the bruises on her body before she went into the water. However, another source said that the bruising could have been because she was overly susceptible to bruising due to the medication she was on. There was also suggestions of bruising being similar to someone who had been thrown out of a boat. So as you can see, there were many questions when it came to some of this bruising. bruising, or all of the bruising for that matter. Along with that, there were also several witness statements on the night of Natalie's death. Two witnesses on a different boat claimed that they heard a woman screaming that night, and this boat that they were on, the boat that the witnesses were on, was in the area of Natalie Wood's boat that night. And according to them, they claimed that they heard a woman screaming out for help on the night that Natalie died. Now, in 2012, Natalie's cause of death was changed from an accidental drowning to drowning and other undetermined factors. And then in 2018, Robert Wagner ended up being named a person of interest by police in this investigation. They said that they believe that it was possible that Robert assaulted Natalie before she drowned and ultimately threw her into the water. Now, when it comes to Natalie's family, they have very conflicting opinions about all of this. Natalie's daughters, which includes Robert Wagner's daughters, believe that reopening the case is really just feeding into this media storm and wanting to make Natalie's death something that it's not. And a lot of her friends feel this way too. They feel like by doing this, they're really just painting this narrative that Robert was this person that he wasn't and that their relationship was something that it wasn't. Now, Natalie's younger sister, Lana, on the other hand, she has been very public about her opinion that she thinks something far more sinister happened to her sister than just an accidental drowning. She made many public interviews, including a Dr. Phil interview, where she went on to say that she thinks that Robert was responsible for her sister's death. She believes that the police skipped over Natalie's death far too quickly and ignored many red flags. She claimed that she had a hard time believing Natalie, who had such an immense fear of open water, would put herself in a position where she would drown or get herself close enough to the water where she could be potentially compromised. And that was something that the media and the public really had a hard time wrapping their heads around as well. The fact that Natalie had this well-known fear of open water, and then she ends up putting herself in a position where she could potentially drown. However, the other side of this argument, you have other people saying, well, she was very intoxicated. Her perception of reality was probably not all the way there. She could have just gone out and wanted to tie up the boat and then ultimately slipped and fell. Now, it was a 58-foot boat. However, many people do have questions in regards to if Natalie did fall into the water and if she was drowning and if she was struggling. Many people have a hard time believing that neither Christopher or Robert wouldn't hear that. They believe that if Natalie really did fall into that water on accident, she would have probably struggled to try and save herself. She would have been flailing in the water. She would have maybe been screaming out. And for Christopher and Robert not to hear that does seem unlikely. So there are a lot of speculations, as you can see, when it comes to Natalie's death, a lot of questions that have been raised. And I'm very interested to hear what you guys have to say about this. But with that being said, you guys, that is going to be all for me today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of Killer Instinct. Again, if you're new here, hi, my name is Savannah, and I'm your host of Killer Instinct. Make sure you go ahead and hit that subscribe button. That way you never miss an episode. We post weekly here on the podcast every single Wednesday. You're not going to want to miss it. I'll be back next week with a brand new one for you guys. And until then, stay safe. Bye, guys.